Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 24. It's so good to be in the Lord's house today. Luke 24, beginning at verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? The scene of the empty tomb, the scene of the defeated sepulcher. He is risen. Jesus is alive. The empty tomb, yet still a tomb. Defeated sepulcher, yet still sepulcher, empty. Empty, should we know him? And defeated, should he know us? Why seek ye the living among the dead? And I'm aware of the intent of these words, well aware of why they were spoken. I mean, Jesus wasn't there. The body wasn't there. You won't find the body in a tomb. You won't find the body of Jesus in any tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Aware of the reason for the question that day, but can't you hear it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? A picture. And might it serve as a picture of humanity, picture of humankind, seeking the living among the dead, seeking life among death, seeking life and living in tombs and sepulchers. Can you live? Can you live in such a place there among the dead? Is there a life worth living in such a place, in such a space? Such an environment, such an atmosphere and setting. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye a life among the dead? Life among the dead. Why are you looking for a life and living here? And now verse 6, he is not here. You know, Jesus isn't here. Jesus isn't there. And even now, perhaps the mind and minds, scenes flashing of humanity seeking the living among tombs and sepulchers and graves and crypts. Examples and extreme examples. And yet, what of the lesser? Seeking the living among dead things. Things of no real value. Things of no lasting value. Examples. And what of the realms of philosophy and psychology and astrology and illumination outside the borders and boundaries of the faith? Tombs and sepulchres. And he is not. He is not there. Son, daughter, why do you seek the living among the dead? There's no living there. There's no life there. He isn't there. Jesus isn't there. Resurrection life, son. Resurrection life, daughter. And don't you know 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Seek ye the living among the living. Living and life and a life worth living. You see, Jesus conquered the tomb so we could live resurrection life. Dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6, we pick it up at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, literally rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin, cleared. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, that is, consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments, weapons of ungodliness, unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. And yet, what of this verse? 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify, not all things build up. Things not helpful. Things that do not edify. Would this be a seeking the living among the dead? Believer's freedom. Well, the NIV reads, not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. The Amplified Classic, not all things are helpful, expedient, profitable, and wholesome. Not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life. The NLV, not everything is good for us to do. Not all things help us grow strong as Christians. You know, life looks different when you're a Christian. When you're living resurrection life and through the lens and eyes of resurrection life. And the stronger the walk gets, the stronger the gate, many things that once didn't look like dead things begin looking like dead things. A closer walk with Jesus. Luke 24:5, the voice reads, why are you seeking the living one in the place of the dead? The Message paraphrase, why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? It can speak to so many today, it can speak in so many ways to so many this day, the New Century Version, why are you looking for a living person in this place for the dead? The Living Bible, why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? The Wycliffe Bible, what seek ye him that liveth with dead men? What seek ye the living with the dead? The NLT, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? And here too, do not be unequally yoked. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, I love this, the text. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I mean, imagine. Imagine if people came looking for us and they found the stone rolled away. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not our body. And there they are, much perplexed. And behold, look, two men standing by them in shining garments. Imagine if people came looking for us there at the tomb, at the sepulcher, at the crypt. And the question, the announcement, why are ye seeking? Why seek ye the living among the dead? They are not here. They are no longer here. They've risen. The CEV reads, why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Much perplexed. They come looking for us, and they can't find us where they thought we'd be, where we used to be. And they're like, what do you mean? So-and-so isn't here anymore? So-and-so doesn't come here anymore? So-and-so doesn't frequent the joint anymore? So-and-so doesn't belong here anymore? So-and-so is alive? They've risen? Galatians 2:20, the NLT, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I am born again. You won't find me there. I'm alive because of Jesus. You won't find me there among the dead. You know, Jesus seeks the dead among the dead to raise them to life. Mark 5:1-9. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore, adjure you by God, that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Extreme case, yet speaks to all cases. Verses 9-20. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. though a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we might enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead to them to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might go with him, be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, 10 cities, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Look what the Lord has done. The other side of the sea, worth noting, the country of the Gadarenes, there among the tombs, no place for living, no place for a living, no place for life. But here is this man, a live man, but he's a dead man. Possessed, a man with an unclean spirit, legion, no small number. He has his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains. No one could tame him. You know, but Jesus can both bind and loose such a man. It's the power of Jesus. Always, night and day, he's in the mountains and he's in the tombs. There he is crying out, and he's cutting himself with stones. We're talking about destructive behavior and all types. He couldn't control it. He was out of control. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." You see, even the devils believe and tremble. Was there any hope for this man? Yes. The good news is that there is hope for all cases. The severe and the less severe, although all cases are severe, all tomb life. Not possessed until he possesses us. Until he releases us. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, by grace through faith brought near by his blood." Ephesians 2, 1-13, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course, eon of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in our world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We can be set free today. Everything sent to the swine. The unclean spirit and spirits out, entering the swine, the herd, running violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And a picture of our sins there on the ocean floor, the old life, the old man, the death life, the tomb life, the possession and the oppression. Look! See the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And you know what Jesus said to the man? Jesus said to the man, go home. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Yeah. The tombs. The graveyards. The cemetery. The crypt. It's no home. Go home to your friends. And like the prodigal coming home, leave the pigs behind. I will rise and go to my father. Like the prodigal reinstated it. It wasn't always tomb life for the prodigal. And perhaps that's your story. It wasn't always tomb life for you, but you've ended up there. But it doesn't have to end there. And to these, go home to your friends. Perhaps your newfound friends, you know, the body of Christ, the body of believers, brothers and sisters, the family of God. Go to your friends. Come home and tell us. Share with someone today. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. Life, living, the proof. We look at this man, a man renamed, given back his name, a man renamed. A new name, a new creation. He asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. But not any longer, not anymore. A man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, my name is Legion. But look, the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. I mean, that's a new man. That's a new label. That's a new description. That's a new picture. That's a new name. Imagine if that man would have said, I think I like tomb life. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Jesus said, go home. What if he would have said, Jesus, I think I'm good here. It's no place for living. There's no life there. Luke's Gospel, Luke 8:35. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I mean, that's a new man. That's a new life. The voice, soon a crowd rushes from the town to see what's going on out by the lake. There they find Jesus seated to teach with the newly liberated man sitting at his feet, learning in the posture of a disciple. It's how it should be, people. This former madman is now properly dressed and completely sane. This frightens the people. You know, let this be the hour that people are frightened by what the Lord has done, what the Lord will do. Frightened in a good way, frightened that this is even possible. The people can be liberated, the people can be set free, taken out of the place of the dead, the people can be delivered and clothed and in their right mind, even the most possessed. And there they are, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning in the posture of a disciple. I know there are testimonies even in this house. People would have said it's absolutely impossible. But look what the Lord has done. Here you are in the Lord's house. You're sitting at Jesus' feet. You're clothed, you're in your right mind, you are sane, you're no longer a mad woman or a mad man except mad for Jesus. Life's different now. The NLV was sitting at the feet of Jesus with clothes on and had the right use of his mind. Found and finding. At the feet of Jesus, the NCV, the man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind because the demons were gone. The message, those tending the pigs, scared to death, bolted, and told their story in town and country. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes and making sense. It was a holy moment. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Are we seeking the living among the dead? However this speaks, it might be the seeking, the living among dead gods, idols, statues, gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood. You're saying, I'd never fall down, I'd never worship an idol, but there's a lot of idol worship going on. A lot of bowing that shouldn't be. A lot of worship. It just looks different on this side of the pond. Are we seeking the living among the dead? Psalm 115, 1 to 8. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles and nations say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. There's no life there. Dead gods. Dead gods that keep us dead. Dead gods that leave us dead. Dead gods that lead to eternal destruction. We're talking about agents of the enemy of souls. Yeah, idols look different on this side of the pond. And the little g gods. There's only one true God. There's only one true living God. Seek ye the living among the living. Matthew 22:32. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I mean, haven't you found it to be true? That the closer the walk with Jesus, the stronger the walk with Jesus, the stronger the gate. Things that once didn't look like dead things, you can see clearer and clearer that they are dead things. There's no life there. Well, the people in the story where we began, Luke chapter 24, 1-5, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, I know the context, but can we hear the Spirit of the Lord today? These were followers of Jesus. Here too, the words speak. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, sometimes Christians can find themselves seeking the living and a living and living in life among the dead. It can happen as long as we are in this old world. We need to keep this in mind. We need to press on. We need to walk on. We need to seek the living among the living. I wonder today, is there a place? Is there an area? Be it anything this day? And he isn't there. He isn't in it. It's simply not where Jesus is. And no place for those that be his. But we are seeking the living there. Seeking life. Even seeking the living one. But he's not there. It's time to leave the tombs. The sepulchres, the crypts, the graveyards, the cemeteries. It's time to leave it behind. You're saying, well, Jesus was in the tomb. Yeah, to conquer it. To reign victorious over it, to raise us from it, to free us from it. On the third day, the break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trampled death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine, Jesus saves you. Jesus sets you free. He releases you and you're like, I'm going to stay. He's saying, get out of here. Go home. No. You saved me, Jesus. You set me free, but this crypt is just fine. This graveyard, this cemetery, I quite like it here. I'm used to the place. I know my way around. I can handle myself. You know, I'm sane now. I'm in my right mind. Jesus said, get out of here. You can't handle yourself. Do you know how many young believers I have witnessed over the years. They get saved. You know, in all the places they used to frequent, they just think now they're Superman or Superwoman, just like that, you know? Like I can handle myself. I'm just going to stroll back in there, keep hanging out there, and now I'm going to convert the lost. Well, it's a good goal. But how many of them have found themselves possessed all over again? Swept clean, and then what happens? A word to those that decide to follow Jesus and surrender. You can't hang out where you used to hang out. You got to walk away. You need to distance yourself. I'm not saying God won't do a miracle and send you back in there to witness to people at a later date, but you got to get out. You got to come out. And you got to spend time at the feet of Jesus. An insane amount of time at the feet of Jesus. Keep spending time at the feet of Jesus. And it never ends. Even when you've been saved 10, 20 years, you still know. And you know even more. You got to spend more and more and more and more time at the feet of Jesus. Because you want to stay clothed. And you want to stay sane. And mad for Jesus. Hear the men in shining garments today. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Why are you looking in the tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He's not there. Why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus isn't there. You know, it's no place for us. It's no place for living. Let's have the worship team return. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. For what fellowship, literally in common, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion, that is fellowship, has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. The call today, come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Wow. Well, I know. One day we will find ourselves among the tombs. Even in a tomb. But you know, we won't be there. We will be alive, not dead. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? To be absent from the body, present with the Lord, we will be risen in glory. That is, if we know him. some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away to a land where joys shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Can you sing it? Can you sing this song? Can you sing these words? By the grace and mercy of the living Christ, you can. Jesus is calling. He's calling today. Jesus has come to raise you from the tomb, to take you from the tombs, to send you home, that one day he might take you home. He wants you to live today. He wants to give you life today. He wants to give you resurrection life today. He wants you truly alive this day. And if you will let him, they will seek you there. They'll seek you among the dead, but they'll never find you. They'll seek you there and they'll hear. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Seek ye the living among the living. Come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. The invitation that you might be saved, that you might be delivered, you might be set free, that you might be clothed, right mind at the feet of Jesus. The prodigal returning. All the prodigals returning to the Father's house. Ring robe because of Jesus. New name, new life, new birth, new creation because of Jesus. Is there anyone in this house today? Even those that are saved. Perhaps you've been walking with Jesus for decades. And it wasn't always so. But now you're searching for life in places and things God has declared dead. And you once thought they were dead. You recognized them as dead. You reckoned them as dead. You said, yeah, those are dead things. I'd never get caught up in that. Other people get caught up in that. But you're a few more miles down the road. And as long as we're in this life, if we're not careful, we can end up seeking the living and living and life and fulfillment and belonging and love among the dead. Thank God Jesus saves. You know, perhaps we don't even know. You know, sometimes we look at our own life and we're like, everything's good. But I want a heart like David. You know, like the psalmist that comes before the feet of Jesus and says, Jesus, I think everything's okay. But in humility, says, Jesus, would you search me? I'm here at your feet. You know things. You see things. Even things I don't see. Take stock of my life, Jesus. Jesus, search me. Try me. Get a clear picture of what's going on in my life, what's going on in my world, what's going on inside of me. And Lord, if there is anything that is amiss, if there is anything that isn't right, if there is anything or any seeking of living life, belonging, whatever it might be, in death, God, would you show me? Would you point it out? Would you tell me? And we come before him because we know he loves us. There at the feet of Jesus. Well, whatever you need today.